Will our children and teachers please come forward?
Hey, Father Robert.
Hey, how you doing?
10207.
Holy God, we ask, O Lord, that you bring these children back totally transformed, ready to listen to their parents and do whatever they say. We ask, O Lord, that you bless these teachers so that they might have grit and they might have determination to be transformed even more than the children. And we ask, O Lord, all of this in your name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
I speak to you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
You do not need an ordinary story. You did not come here this morning for an ordinary story. If Jesus had not been resurrected from the dead, there would be no story this morning. Nobody needs a story about a guy who's still in the tomb, dead as he ever was. You did not come to get more of the world's ordinary stories. Normally, dead people remain dead in the tomb. Normally, our life goes on just as it has always gone on. But if you keep living your same ordinary day-to-day life, what you come to realize is that you need something more. You need something that takes you out of the ordinary and brings you right up to God. An ordinary story will not do, at least for none of you here this morning. As I always say, the gospel contains three key ingredients. One, it must be dramatic. It must take us to a place where we do not expect it will go. Heck, if it were up to me, I'd have probably written the gospels ending with the crucifixion. We're done. You can all go home now. Leave me alone. But it goes somewhere that none of us expect it to go. Second, it's invitational. It says, hey, you who is reading, you who is listening, come here. Third, the story must be transformational. Any story that leaves you the same after you read the story is no story worth your time. And that is what we have here today. It is a dramatic story. On the Sabbath, the first day, when it was dawning, that's not how the Greek goes. The Greek goes like this. On the Sabbath, the first day, when the light was on the edge. When the light was on the edge. Now, if you remember, just a little bit before, in the Gospel of Matthew, when the crucifixion was happening, two things that were important happened. One, there was an earthquake. And two, it went dark. And it is not until here that the light is on the edge. And the women have come to the tomb, and they don't know where the story is going. They don't know if, in fact, Jesus will rise from the dead as he said, or whether it will just be a story of more death, a story like every other story in the world. And they have come to find out, is this a story of life overcoming death? A story that transcends the ordinary and pulls us indeed out of the ordinary as well? Or is this a story just like every other story that ends in death? And so Mary Magdalene and Mary want to know what's going on at the tomb. And when they get there, the tomb is just a tomb. The stone that had been rolled away after they buried Jesus in the tomb was still there. And so there it is. The light is on the edge. And the women are waiting at the tomb. And out of nowhere, bam! An angel of the Lord comes, appearing as lightning. What every NASCAR driver wishes he was, the gospel has provided. And there he is, clothed as white as snow, with the appearance of lightning. And he addresses them. Do not be afraid. Jesus, the man who was crucified, who you are looking for, he has been raised from the dead. He is no longer here. Go into the tomb. There is now light going into the tomb. Go in there, see for yourself. He is not there. He has been raised from the dead. Do not fear. And then the angel says, you are to go tell the disciples, the other disciples who are not here, that Jesus will meet them up in Galilee. Go and tell what I have told you. That is my message for you. In other words, the angel who is sitting there, appearing as lightning, dressed white as snow, turns the Marys into angels themselves. He puts the evangelium, the good news, onto their lips and says, go and tell others what you have seen and heard here. And so they go off, and suddenly the risen Lord Jesus meets them. And he has one word to say to them, charite, which is not greetings. It's a command and an invitation. Be joyful. Be joyful. The risen Lord has invited you into his very joy, into the resurrection itself. Here's the invitation. You have two choices, to walk away and just continue being the same old person you were before, or to walk into the new light of the resurrection. Be joyful. What would you like? Jesus puts it all on the line for those two women. I know you came seeking me. Why receive anything less than a command and an invitation to be joyful with the risen Lord? And their response is to bow down and worship him at his feet, the very feet that still have the wounds of the cross in them. Except these wounds are no longer signs of the triumph of death over life, but the triumph of life over death, the triumph of the resurrection over the crucifixion. And there they are, worshiping the risen Lord Jesus. I can't think of anything more dramatic and more invitational and more transformational than what has happened in this reading. And once again, the risen Lord says to them, do not be afraid. Go and tell the other disciples what you have seen and heard here. In other words, you are now an angel of the Lord. Go and bear the good news to those who have no longer heard it and seen it. Go and tell. Now, I don't know about you, but I'd rather be an angel of the Lord than the same old robber who gets up and overeats every day. And I believe that all of you came this morning because you believe that perhaps, like those women, Mary and Mary, there was a chance, just a chance, that indeed I might be invited and transformed into something that I had never been invited and transformed into before. I mean, I'm looking at Elaine Cole over here, and she did not get dressed up like this for the ordinary, did she? No, she did not. And I'm looking at Betty over here, and she did not get dressed up like that just for the ordinary. No, I know these two ladies, they got up, and they were ready to rock and roll with Jesus Christ. I am ready, Jesus. That's right, Scotty. And guess what? I believe that each and every one of you got up this morning not just to be seen by other people, but to be invited into the living Christ. In fact, I believe that the light that shines out from the living Christ that began on that day at the empty tomb is still asking for each and every one of you. The good news isn't what happened 2,000 years ago. The good news is that what happened 2,000 years ago is still important, relevant, and the only thing, quite frankly, that matters. Because it's the only story that says you matter. No matter who you were or what you did yesterday, you matter today. No matter how much you might think I have made a mess of my life, the Lord still comes and says, you matter to me. Be joyful. Good news is still here. And the invitation to receive it is still here. And each and every one of us got up this morning because we're tired of the ordinary. We're tired of schlepping around in search of the next great hamburger. At least that's my story. The good news invites and transforms us more dramatically than anything else that is being offered. Because this is God coming to us and saying, put down that old story of sin and death and come be in the light and love of my Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.